This is an oral history interview with Stephen Yaxley, the Chief Engineering Officer on the SI Galles. I suppose we're somewhere in the 40s still.
42.
And it is today the 13th of February 2011. Now, my first question is always, how did it happen that you sit here? I mean, how did you come a Chief Engineering Officer on the SI Galles? Give me sort of an overview of your career.
My career started, finished matric in 1986 in Welkom, in Free State. And I went to do national service in the South African Navy. And just before I went to the South African Navy, I applied to a shipping company called Unicorn Lines. And I was accepted to do a cadetship through Unicorn Lines. So I went to the Navy first for 5 months or whatever it was, and did my basics and all the rest of it there. And then from there, I was seconded to Unicorn, to the South African Merchant Navy, where I had to spend 10 years, according to the National Defence Force Act or whatever it was of those years.
Okay. I understand.
So I went there and I actually spent 15 years with Unicorn. I was with them from a cadet right up until second engineer. And I left them in, I was in 2000, I was seconded to Smit from Unicorn to go and stand by a vessel as chief engineer on a little research ship called the Algoa. And I actually enjoyed it so much when I went back to Unicorn. I was only there for about 6 months. And I decided to come, I was approached by Smit, and I decided to come back because I enjoy the science aspect of the work. I was on tankers for quite a long time of my career, and I just got sick and tired of the commercial stress and the petroleum products and all the rest of it, although we use them all the time, you know. I just, when I saw the science aspect of things, and I sort of rekindled a flame in my career. I was on the Algoa for quite a long time. I was there for about 4 or 5 years as chief engineer, and then I went to the Afrikaner. I was there for about two, 3 years, however long I was. I think it was close on 3 years, again as chief engineer, and then I got the opportunity to come here, and this is my third voyage now, down to the ice on and off the ship now for about 3 years as well.
For about 3 years. Yeah. So you're saying what particularly you liked was the science aspect thereof?
Yeah, the science aspect and the people aspect of it. You meet quite a diverse group of people that you don't meet in any other shipping industry, unless you're on the passenger vessels or something like that. You meet ornithologists, you meet weather people, you meet scientists, you meet biologists, you meet oceanographers, you meet all different kinds of people. And I find that quite stimulating to myself, as well as, I've become very fond of seabirds as of late. For me to be able to sit down and speak to the ornithologists from time to time is good fun for me. That's sort of, you know, and also the engineering aspect of things like that. I'm forever helping the oceanographers fix this or make this or get that winch going or whatever, which is something that we don't normally do. So it's extremely stimulating for me.
But Isao Galles, what is she like to be an engineer on, being an older vessel? Is she not really an older vessel in terms of maritime?
Well, I've sailed on a lot worse and I've sailed on a lot better.
Okay.
She's an old girl and she needs tender loving care at the moment, but she's not a difficult vessel to sail. She is very hands on. She's almost fully manual, so you need a class of a person that can think a little bit. You know, it's not a push button mechanic. You know, it's somebody that needs a bit of common sense in engineering. I find most of my guys, you know, that I've been very fortunate with the guys that I've got and that I actually do the ocean voyages with. I find them quite a good level of engineer, quite high up on the ranks, if I may say so, compared to some of the guys that I have worked with before. And you know, I get the guys thinking my way, and I explain the system and the situation to them, and they find their feet very, very quickly.
Yeah, okay,
she's a, as I say, not a difficult vessel to sail, not a difficult vessel to handle, but yeah, she is getting old and she needs a little bit of TLC. And if you're prepared to do that, work hard, maintain her properly, you won't have any problems with her at all.
Getting just back to maritime engineering, is it something you also study, like at university or at the technical, you do engineering degree?
Yes, you do marine engineering.
Marine engineering. Where in South Africa can you do that?
Natal, well, it's probably, what do they call it now, the Polytechnic of Natal. Or when it was my time, it was Natal Technikon, and then Cape Peninsula University of Technology.
Okay, yeah. Okay, and do you get a steady influx of young engineers, or not really?
For some or other unknown reason, I've noticed over the years, the numbers have dwindled of marine engineers being trained. I mean, if you look at it logically on the ship at the moment, there's four deck cadets, there's not one engineer. The shortage of people at sea are engineers, not navigators.
Yes.
So, you know, obviously industry can't see this, or maybe I'm just too short-sighted or something like that. But to me, is why isn't it the other way around? Why aren't there three engineer cadets here and one deck cadet? I've got absolutely no engineering cadets. I had one earlier this year that stayed with me for a while, but that was it. For the whole time that I've been on the ship, I think I've had two engineering cadets.
Wow, that's...
And that's, it's slack. It's very, very bad.
When was your first Antarctic trip?
2008-2009.
And have you done Marion and golf trips as
well? Yes, lots. Yeah.
Lots of them.
Yeah.
So, can you still remember your first impressions of Antarctica?
Well, Antarctica, I mean, it's basically, for lack of a better description, I'll say it's a fairy tale come true, you know. When you first get there, it's wow, you know, and look how pretty it is and how beautiful it is and all the rest of it. And that has never really left me, you know. I'm still flabbergasted every time I see it for the first time. I love the place. I love going down there. I absolutely adore Antarctica. I mean, but yes, you do get sick and tired of being there.
Yeah.
You know, enough eventually becomes enough. Eventually you want a change of scenery. Eventually you want to not be cold anymore. You want to be able to go see sun. You want to be able to see dark. You want to be able to, you know. But it's something that I'll treasure for the rest of my life. I love the place. I love going down there. And I look forward to... once I leave, I look forward to going
back. And Marion and Gough?
I love Gough Island to bits, probably because I think it's much prettier than Marion. The, I don't know, it's just something about Gough. Gough's a lovely island. It's a very pretty island. It's an extremely diverse island. There's lots of plants and different kinds of plants, and there's even a few trees and things like that. Whereas Marion is... it's basically a big marsh. It's grass and ferns and mud and more mud and mires, and basically that's it, you know. Okay, there you've got the birds nesting there and the king penguins and all that sort of thing.
It's like a thin strip at the bottom.
Yeah, but other than that, you know, as I say, my favourite is Gough. I love Gough Island. It's, Marion, the base is very nice now and very modern, very, guys have worked hard getting that lot up and going, and hopefully a nice science platform for future use. The place itself, I like going there. I'm not saying I don't like going
there.
Yeah,
but it's just not.
I enjoy going there, but you know, when you want to go for a walk, it's actually more of a lust than anything else, you know, because you're forever this deep in mires and mud and stuff like that. Whereas with Gough, it's completely different. Gough is lovely. It's, you know, and my favourite albatross lives on Gough anyway, so,
which is that?
The yellow nose.
Yellow nose albatross. So you've been ashore on all these places?
Yes.
Do you just get like a day ashore most of the times?
Well, most of the times it's a few hours, an afternoon, if you're lucky, you know. Just to go for a walk, to go see the animals. Well, you know, I feel sorry for the year team and the team that are there. You know, when I come along, because all they want to do is show you the base and their base and all that, where they live, which they're actually very proud of. And, you know, I can't blame them for that, but me, I just want to get out. I want to get out. I want to go see the animals. I want to go see the birds. That's what I want to do, you know. And maybe I'm a little bit, you know, I should be a bit more tolerant towards them, you know. Shamra, he's off to all their home, and they're very proud of what they're doing and all the rest of it. And, but, you know, your time's so limited. You just want to get and go and see the, you know, what you want to see. Mm-hmm. So, but as I say, Gough's a little bit, they need a new base pretty soon, I reckon. But very nice as it is. I think it's probably got the most character of all of them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it's old, you know. Yeah, I like old things, you know.
Are there any specific challenges, not on the Gullis, but on going so far south, for a maritime engineer?
Yes, there's always a lot of challenges. Mainly things like you've got no backup where you are. Mm-hmm. If something breaks, if something goes wrong, you need to be able to make a plan. You need to be able to get the ship back. Mm-hmm. You've got, I mean, it's not like you can sail into the closest port and get a spare.
Yeah.
Or get somebody to come and service a machine or something like that. Your planning has got to be thorough. Your maintenance has got to be thorough. And you've got to have a good team with you that, as I say, if something goes wrong, you must be able to fix it. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're stuck. That's it. You're not going to go anywhere. Those, I would say, are the three biggest challenges, is maintenance, planning, and engineering itself. I mean, and it's not just for the ship that we do engineering. We do engineering I do engineering for the bases. I do engineering for SANA. I do engineering for the oceanographers. It's not part of my job. It's just if they need something done, then I'll try and help them as best I can.
Does the weather influence the engineering at all? Because you're mostly working inside, but also in terms of the call, does it actually have an impact on the machines?
Yes, not really on the machinery. Yeah, I will do extreme cold, but in the engine room itself, no, not really, because it's still fairly warm down there. But we use a lot of machinery to keep the place warm. I mean, to make water, to keep the accommodation comfortable and all the rest of it. I mean, we're burning fuel to do that. We've got boilers running. We've got, a lot of machinery going. Just now today, it's turned into the opposite of it, to put the air conditioning on, because it started getting muggy in the accommodation. So now I've got that machinery running. But the cold, no, not really. I'd say if anything, it's the motion of the ship. You can imagine if we've got to, say, overhaul a unit on one of the main engines, so we have a breakdown on one of the main engines. We have to start moving stuff there. I mean, things are heavy. I mean, it's 3/4 of a ton, some of the stuff. And the ship rolling around, you've got that swinging around and all sorts of things. So, yeah, that becomes a bit more challenging. But basically, yeah, that's it.
Were you on the vessel last year when one of the engines failed?
Yes.
What was that like?
Scary.
You weren't on duty, though?
No, I was upstairs. I was busy having... It was 5 o'clock in the morning. So I went running downstairs basically with very little on, because the whole ship started shaking. So it woke me up and I ran downstairs. By the time I got down there, the guys had shut the engine down. It took us a while and we saw what the problem was. And I went up to the bridge and I said, right, that's it, finish. That engine's not going to run again for the rest of this trip.
Wow.
And as a chief engineer to have to say something like that, it's not a nice thing.
Did you have to overhaul the engine?
We took the whole engine out and we changed the bits that were damaged and put it back. And, well, we stripped a lot of the engine down on the remainder of that voyage. By the time we got to Cape Town, it took us a week and we had the whole engine out. And in 2 months, I think it was 2 months, we had the engine out and the engine back in and running. So it was good going. It was very good going.
Are you involved with the new vessel?
Yes, I am.
In what context?
Again, on the engineering side and the planning and you know, the checking of drawings and plans and saying, yes, this equipment will do for us and that's going to work and this will work and, you know, now I'm not happy with that. Or, I've been through a lot of the drawings, very much like Freddie's done on the deck side. I've been involved in the engineering side.
So, okay, cool. What do you think it is that South Africa is not really a maritime nation?
It's a difficult one. I'd say it's probably because we're not being exposed enough. South African seafarers, like of my generation and that, are very highly thought about around the world, you know, because we're not scared to work, we're not scared of the challenge, you know. I just think that industry and the government's not exposing this industry as much as they should be. I think if you got more exposure, if you got more money to train, if you got more South African shipping companies, like SAF Marines just left now, so there's another one gone. I think certainly, I mean, we've got the people to do it. It's just to retain the what skills we've got left, to retain them in South Africa, to pass them on to the youngsters. So I think it's all basically all about exposure. Sure. Personally, that's my personal opinion. I mean, when I went to sea, nobody told me. I didn't even know that the sea career was out there.
Yeah.
No idea. Only reason I found out about it was because my father was at sea. Okay, and I was in the Navy. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, the new should be bigger than this one.
Yes.
We spoke about it earlier.
Yes, no, she's going to be quite a bit bigger.
Also in length.
In length, I think she's about 15 odd meters longer. Mm-hmm. In breadth, she's about 6 meters wider.
Wow.
In depth, I'm not sure. I think she's pretty much what we are now, maybe a little bit deeper. But total weight, she's, because of those two dimensions, your weight increases dramatically. Oh, yeah. And also, she's going to be a lot more powerful.
Okay.
So we'll be able to handle thicker ice than this one can.
Is ice sometimes a problem for the goddess?
Oh, definitely, yes. I mean, she's designed as an ice strengthened vessel. She's not an ice breaker. And we get more than 0.8, 1 meter of ice that's thick. That's it. We don't go anywhere.
No.
We fuss, you know. We,
okay.
We sit sometimes for a while in the ice and wait for it to break up. And
before, just not on this journey where there was no ice at all.
There was no ice at all on this trip. There was nothing. Whereas last year we were thick with ice. Changes from year to year.
On the Avalis, as a, what would you call it, a research vessel, passenger vessel, cargo vessel, what is she?
Well, I'd say she's a logistical support and oceanographic research vessel.
What is the interaction between the officers on this as a research vessel, between the officers and passengers? Like, is it different from other vessels you've sailed on?
Well, other vessels I've sailed on, we don't really have passengers per se. I mean, the ships that I sailed on before coming to this fleet were cargo ships, so we very seldom had passengers. So you're sitting on a ship with 18 people and that's it, you know.
Okay.
Whereas here you've got 118. Okay, now with the drug and alcohol policy that's in, okay, we don't socialize much with passengers so much anymore, but on the oceanographic science voyages that we do, like when we drop you guys off, there is quite a lot of interaction, and we play volleyball and we you know, have tea parties and we do this and we do that and have bras, which you didn't see firsthand because you weren't here.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a smaller crowd, it's far easier to interact in with the big crowd. Look, I know all the PWD guys and I have a chat with them from time to time. I know a couple of the scientists and I know this person and I know that person. But as I say, the social aspect of it at the moment is, you know, we don't interact a hell of a lot.
And between officers and crew, is it different than other vessels?
No, very much the same. Yeah. Officers and crew, again, there's a lot of interaction between them because we work together. And I'd say no day goes by where there's no interaction between us. I mean, I'm with my boys all the time.
Yeah, do you have a crew specifically attached to you?
Yeah, I've got three greasers.
Greasers?
Yeah, well, oilers, we call them. Oilers, yeah. And they work with me downstairs. There's no day that goes by that there's no interaction between us. I mean, the crew and the officers are always together. I mean, we always work together. We're side by side all the time.
So, And I'm sorry, just noticing here another question I put down. What would you like to call the new vessel if it was up to you?
Frank Wild.
Frank Wild. Mm.
He was a South African Antarctic explorer in the years of Scott and old Shackleton and all that, and he spent a lot of time down there. There's actually a plaque up for him, a memorial plaque in the church in South Georgia.
Really?
Well, I've got a photograph of it, I'll show you now. So yeah, it's got to be either named after somebody that was involved in Antarctica, I'm not saying necessarily him, or something to do with science.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, I don't really see that the ship can be named anything else. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going down there. It's all the other ships that go down that area, all named after either science or people that were involved in science.
Yeah.
I mean, the Aurora Australis, the Australian one, Shackleton and the Explorer and the Endeavour and all of them. You know, it's got to be history related, as far as I'm concerned.
How do you describe Antarctica to people back home?
White and cold. it's as I say, a fairy tale place.
Yes,
as far as I'm concerned, the colours and the different shades of white that you get. It's people just don't realise you get so many different shades of white, and if you can't see them, you're not looking properly. To just go outside and sit for 5 minutes and have a look. It's a fairy tale place, as far as I'm concerned. Look, it is cold and it is. I mean, it is the White Desert, as we all know it. I'd rather get lost in the Sahara than there, because in the Sahara I might stand a chance of surviving. There, I've got no chance of surviving. But it's the way I feel about it.
Your interest in seabirds, did that come before, or as a product of?
Well, it's certainly as a product of working in this fleet. Mm. Yeah, I was never really interested in them. Much before I came to Smit and to the DEA fleet. But it's certainly, I'd say within the last 4 years, maybe even a bit longer than that, say the last 5 years, from when I was on the Afrikaner, that I actually really became interested in seabirds.
Have you seen a change in the seabirds in your time? Well, not really?
Not really. I don't think I've been into it long enough to notice anything. The whales, certainly, I've noticed a big difference.
What kind of difference? More than
when I've, but again, that could also be because I've been showing interest in them, I actually see more. But I can remember when I went to sea about 23 years ago, you very seldom, you didn't see as many whales as I do now. But there again, I suppose 23 years ago, I really didn't look for many whales. But I certainly think over the last couple of years, I reckon I see more and more whales all the time.
What is the relationship between the chief engineering officer and the captain? I mean, do you report directly to the captain?
Well,
or do you just report to yourself?
I report basically to myself, but I speak to him. He's got to know what's going on. He's in charge of the safety of the vessel. Mm. I'm in charge of basically all the mechanical side, the steelwork side, the electrical side, the everything else. To keep the ship going, we have a meeting every morning, we sit and we talk, and this and that, and wada wada wada, hana, this and that. I'd say the guy I report to as well is the superintendents and the vessel managers and that, showing in Cape Town, so.
How many years do you think does the goddess have left in her?
Oh, hey, look after this baby. She'll carry on going for a long time. She's built strong. But again, it also depends on how much money you want to throw at it. Doesn't matter what the problem is. Depends on how much money you're willing to throw at it. If you've got a lot of money to throw at it, it'll go for a long, long time. I don't think they want to going down south too much anymore because of the single propeller and all the story and that story. But as a research platform, oceanographic platform, you throw a little bit of money at the ship, she'll be an excellent platform for science.
Does Agulhas have any kind of special reputation in the South African maritime
world? Yeah, I reckon definitely. I mean, she's got such a little name for herself, you know, and all this. I mean, you speak to anybody about the Agulhas, everybody knows what the Agulhas is and who she is and all the rest of it. And she's, and specifically with the guys that have worked on her, she's very dear to our hearts. I mean, the guys always put in, you know, all the extra effort and that to make her look nice and to keep her nice and performing nice and all the rest of it. She's a lovely little ship. I mean, the guys are all extremely fond of her.
Yeah, thank you. Is there anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, basically not much more, you know. I'm not one for talking too much.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's been lovely. Thank you so much.
No worries.